Next on MLR Weekly, Miami Sharks head coach Jose Cochi Pelicena, John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning, Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, our TRN, Play of the Week, Picks of the Week, courtesy of the Rugby Odds, and the best damn recap in rugby. Rugby Wrap-Ups MLR Weekly brought to you by Sheehy Auto Stores. It's easy at Sheehy. The Pig and Whistle, New York City, the world's best rugby pump. And Lean and Limber, stretching your way to a healthier lifestyle. To Rugby Wrap-Ups MLR Weekly. Matt McCarthy in New York City, thank you for joining us once again. And I know it's a broken record, but we have another great show. We have the head coach of the suddenly hot Miami Sharks, Jose Pelicena, a.k.a. Cochi. We also have Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, Mr. John Fitzpatrick with his recurring segment, Rugby Morning's Coffee Break. But before we get to any of that, we have the best dang recap in Major League Rugby. Let's get to it. Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts, Patriots owner Robert Kraft was punching himself in the face for letting Brady and Belichick go. Meanwhile, in Quincy, Mass., the Free Jackson Seawolves were in what many think could be the 2024 Major League Rugby Shield combatants. But there would be only one victor on this day. And Opt underestimated Seattle used 187 tackles to neutralize two yellow cards and keep MLR Player of the Year Jason Patros to just 4 points. Seattle stands at the top of the league in points with an impressive differential of points. I can't say points anymore. Final score, Ruckies 29, Woodgies 21. Down in New Orleans, NOLA and Miami took part in the first ever dire need of a W Derby. Two of the league's warm weather teams saw eight different players score 9 tries, 5 by the Sharks and 4 from the goals. An absolute record for the dire need of a W Derby and likely a league record. The Flying Yee brothers of Fantasy Ruckers and the Stro Bro will confirm. It was also the first ever Shark attack at the gold mine on Airline. Final score, 42-27 Sharks. At the Maryland Soccerplex in Germantown, Maryland, just a dropkick Murphy from Congress, Old Glory and Houston, teams with two entirely different philosophies, diplomatically tried to keep the lone rugby ball on their side of the aisle, or pitch. After an exchange of penalty goals, the Houston crossing guards got the game's first try. After an Old Glory try got the home team within 7 points, the Sabercats rampaged to a 31-10 halftime lead. Houston had no problem from that point on, winning 38-17. At SeatGeek Stadium in Chicago, the Hounds were smelling blood from a wounded L.A. side. Ever notice how hound and wound are spelled basically the same way yet sound so differently? Speaking of differently, this match proved to be one of teams going differently, in directions that is, as Chicago got a hat trick for the second week in a row, this time from a healthy Nate Augsburger, and big old Ben Landry got 2 tries. That's a brace in rugby lingo. File that for our next Sheehy Auto Stores pop quiz. But this one went to the Dogs, 54-31, making Chi-Town legend Crazy Pat Holney very happy. And finally, in the All Blacks Coaches Cup, San Diego head coach Danny Lee and All Blacks hooker and Utah head coach Greg Cooper and All Blacks fullback went toe-to-toe, or at least their teams did. And it was a thriller. The hometown Legion bolted to a 10-zip lead before surrendering 17 unanswered points to the Getting Healthier Warriors, whose 3Ms, Mano, McEnany, and Manson, showed how dangerous they can be with Lasique, Cruze, and Hodgson. But San Diego tied it before allowing 13 more unanswered points before Mikey Tao pounced on a Utah miscue in the try zone, simultaneously deflating the ball and getting his team back in it. But it came down to kicking points, and Joel Hodgson won the battle this time. Final score, 33-32. Where the f*** is Gitto? All right, we need a break, but we're going to take a coffee break with John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning's Coffee Break, out of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. John, welcome. How are you? What do you got? But first, before we go anywhere, why are you wearing a Free Jack shirt?
No, please. This is an American
University.
That's a Free
Jack shirt, guy.
No, this is an American University club rugby jersey because I played in the American University alumni game. The first game they've had in about 5 or 6 years. It was a lot of fun. We dropped a ton of points on those young whippersnappers, and we beat them in the aftermatch drink-off, too.
Wait, I'm sorry. What's that? Oh, that's Woodgie on the line. He's going to be suing you for wearing a Free Jacks jersey. Next!
Okay, moving on, Matt. Speaking of dropping 50 points or more, how about the Chicago Hounds dropping 50 points for the second straight week? Nate Osberger wing, he had 3 tries, and your boy Ben Landry scored 2 tries. Matt, I know I asked you the question last week, that rough question about Chicago, but it seems like they're legit now.
Well, you got some healthy bodies coming back now. Augsburger is getting his feet under him. You got Dylan Fawcett on a 3-game try-scoring tear at Hooker. The players seem to be gelling. They're over 500 for the first time in franchise history. So things are good in Chi-Town. They're on the right foot. Next.
Man, I noticed on the rugby odds that no one on the panel had Seattle going into New England and beating them there, and then Utah beating San Diego. What gives? I thought you guys were prognosticators.
Well, we are. We just we were bad prognosticators in this particular in these two instances. I spent all my energy picking Munster over the Bulls and Ospreys over the Stormers. So how you doing? Next.
Now, I want to bring up something about that New England game, though. Towards the end there, was there anything there towards the end of the action that got you a little nervous about New England moving forward?
Yeah, it's unfortunate news that I can share that it looks like Ian Conradi is out for the year with a knee injury. And if he's out for the season, which the reports that I'm hearing are that he is, that is an enormous blow to New England. That guy is one of their best players, but he's also one of the best players in the league. So if that's the case, we wish him the best. New England's got depth. Tough to replace that kind of a guy.
Wow.
Next.
Yeah, no. Well, Matt, I got to ask you, what's going on with your boy Fitzy and the NOLA goal down in New Orleans, dropping to Miami? Miami now, they're within striking distance of third place in the East. Can they figure it out down there in New Orleans?
Well, you know, 3 consecutive second half collapses. And that's got to, you know, it's pointing its finger more to depth and injury, I think, for them, which is something that they can maybe say, okay, we can straighten that out. Next.
Man, I want to jump over to college rugby real quick, the D1.
You mean to future MLR players?
Ding, ding, ding. You got it. To future MLR players that will be playing in the D1A final. We've got St. Mary's versus Navy. Rewind the tape from a couple episodes ago. I called it. That should be an exciting matchup. That's that first weekend in May.
I'll be down in Germantown at the Maryland Soccerplex for this spectacular NCR Sevens, CRC Sevens event. Next.
Man, I want to close out. I'm sure you saw this news here about the Wasp potentially being revived, but not in the UK, but in the US, potentially joining Major League Rugby. Matt, help me make sense of this. There's no way this is going to work.
Yeah, George Hook, the veteran Irish pundit and Gift A. Bailu, the King Gift A. Bailu, the inventor of words, discussed this on the Rugby Odds this week. And there's not a lot of substance to this report. And how is a team that's in administration, as they say over there, which is bankruptcy, now come into a league and have to fly at least 6 hours across an ocean just to your closest competitors on the East Coast? And then you're going to play L.A., and then you're going to play Utah, and then you're going to play Seattle. And no, I think it's a bunch of hooey. Horse hockey. Excuse my French. Next.
Matt, that's all I got. Just want to know that everyone know I'm in first place in the Fantasy Rutgers League. Thank you.
It's fantasy, guy. It's fantasy. Okay? It's fantasy. Just keep that in mind. And it's a long season. All right? It's a long season. And on that note, I want to thank John Fitzpatrick of the New England Free Jacks and his chest hair. We'll be right back with Coachy from the Miami Sharks after this.
Digs like a demented mole there.
Need a great price on a new vehicle? Sheehy makes it easy. Easy Price shows you our lowest prices on the Mid-Atlantic's largest selection. Find your best price online or at any of our 31 dealerships.
It's easy at Sheehy. Sheehy.com.
You need your cleats. You need them tomorrow. If you order today by 3 p.m. New York time or noon L.A. time, they can have them to you tomorrow. Young, old, male, female, if you're playing on turf, if you're playing on grass, if you're playing in the rain, you're playing in the heat, they've got you covered. RugbyNow.com. Go there now. And we are back, and we have the pleasure of welcoming in for the first time the head coach of the Miami Sharks. And I'm going to say Jose Pelicena or Jose Pelicena, coach.
Hello, everyone. And you have to say Pelicena because my surname is a Spanish surname. It's not Italian surname. That's why it's Pelicena, not Pelicena.
So we finally cracked the code. We got your name correct.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
All right. And you go by Coachy.
Yeah. You know, many people think that my nickname is Coachy, like a coach, right. but it's not like that. It's Coachy from when I was really young, when I was, I think, 2 years old. It came from my brothers, my older brothers that call me. They tried to say Josecito, and they say Cochichito, and at the end was Coachy.
Okay, so it was a term of endearment, and it wasn't some ridiculous affectation for the word coach.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Now that we're here, what has surprised you the most about the league?
The most that I surprised is the contact level and some really skillful teams and players in the league. I think this league is getting better year by year. And this year, I think it's incredible how much it grows. And I'm really surprised.
You've coached with the Pumas. You've coached with the Jaguars and Super Rugby. You have players from overseas. You've got like 10 different languages that you speak in your camp. How's that adjustment been for them? And how have you, like, got them through it?
As you say, we have many languages on the league, on the team. We have many cultures on the league, on the team, sorry. But again, when we talk at the beginning of the season, we say that's, instead of being an issue, it's an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to take the best of our cultures to put it into the team. I have my experience coaching Jaguares when we joined Super Rugby in 2016. I was part of that coaching staff. So I know what it is, and we struggled a lot, and was very, very tough for us. That first season and second season too. But if you realize after four years on the league, on the Super Rugby, 2018, Jaguares played the final in Christchurch against Crusaders. So I know that the beginning is tough, but I know that the end of the day, when you realize the work that you did is really successful, and it's really makes me very happy that the experience that I had in Jaguares, and hopefully the experience that we are having right now in Miami. The main language of the team is the English, because we are in America, and the language in America is the English. For sure, we speak in Spanish too. And the funny thing is many English speakers starting to learn Spanish, because not because only they listen openly, because they sound like they like the language, and they try to learn another language. And I think it's another opportunity to grow, not only as players, but as a person too. But anyway, I think it's part of the growing, it's part of the learning period of the team, and for the individual players too. So I think it's an exciting experience for everyone in many sense, not only about rugby, but in many things. I think it's important.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great experience for these players. Your record is 2-5, but it could very easily. It doesn't tell the whole story, because you could very easily have four wins at least. You lost a heartbreaker to San Diego by 1 point. And, of course, your season opener, your franchise first ever game, was a heartbreaker against Chicago. Is there one that stands out more for you than the other? I mean, New England was an aberration. You guys, you know, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Is there one game that keeps you awake at night?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. Our beginning of the season was tough, not only because it's tough for a new team, but it's tough because the opponents or the team that we play against was, I think, maybe the four best teams on the league. And as you said, we play San Diego, and after we play New England, the two teams that play the finals last year. So for sure, our start was really tough, but I'm happy. I'm proud of the guys because we did very well. I think that the only game that I really felt that we play against a better team was against New England in Boston. I think this was not only difference on points, but in general play, I think that they played very good rugby and we wasn't there 100%. But anyway, I think it was tough, but what really surprised me how our players go into the field and did those games. Anyway, after we had the bye week and we start we play against NOLA and we come back here to Miami to play Dallas in our second block of four games before the next bye. But our start was really, really tough, really difficult, not only because we are new, but because the opponents were really solid teams and really, history teams in this league.
Well, you get, the guys are gelling, you're getting continuity, right? You're getting reps together. How's the health of the team overall?
Yeah, talking about that, this 2 months that this team is playing together. And if you think, and being realistic, and you think just relaxing a little bit, and you say 2 months as a team, sure, it's too much. It's short time to be really a solid team. So I think we have to be patient, have time to work together, and for sure after that the results will arrive.
I want to change gears here. I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to change gears. There were rumors circulating around, and it seems to be clickbait, that the Wasps, the London Wasps or the Coventry Wasps, are thinking about joining MLR. I mean, you and I just got talking about the travel, right? A hop, skip, and a jump from Miami to Seattle. Is Seattle supposed to play against the Wasps in London, in Coventry, or in London? And what's a team that's in administration or bankruptcy? They're talking about adding the expense of playing in America? What do you make of that?
It's not a problem to travel again. I used to travel.
Oh, for you, you're the wrong guy to talk to about this.
Yeah, I fly Buenos Aires, New Zealand, maybe 5 days. I fly the Buenos Aires, Tokyo in the same time.
So right, Japan was in that too, right? The Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh,
but remember when we played Super Rugby, there was Sun Bowls involved on the league. So that's why. But anyway.
But hold on. What class did you guys fly
business when
you
were?
Oh yeah, all right. So we're a coach now, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's
okay,
quite different.
So it's a big difference, coach.
Yeah, absolutely, I know that. I know that. But anyway,
we got that aha moment out of you.
I think bringing different rugby styles into this league could be really useful. I would like to do it. Right now, Super Rugby Americas, that is South American league, play with the Raptors and last week they playing in Denver. The Pampas team is from Buenos Aires, playing in Denver. So I think it's a cross-hemisphere, or not cross-hemisphere, cross-continents like Europe and the United States could be a good opportunity to spread the league, to spread the United States rugby around the world. And I think one of the main focus points from this league really to get better all the time and that the world knows that here in the United States we play very good rugby and we develop the rugby here in the States. So I think it's important.
All right. And final question for you. And this comes from John Fitzpatrick, who was just on the previous segment. He's from Rugby Morning, does this great newsletter every day telling you where everything's going on and where to watch it in rugby. But he's nervously watching from the green room because he wants to know when you're going to get Messi to come on this show.
We're in contact with Messi many times, not only with Messi, but all the players that play for Inter of Miami.
He's the only one we care about, coach.
Yeah, I have a good relationship with Gerardo Martino, the Inter of Miami head coach. So for sure, we will, I don't know when, but will be the day when Lionel Messi kick a rugby ball, for sure.
All right, well, coach, it's been a treat talking to you. I could talk to you for hours, and I really appreciate your time coming on. Coach Jose Pelicena of the Miami Sharks. Coachy, thanks very much. And now, your Major League Rugby Play of the Week, brought to you by the Rugby Network. It was with the visiting Seawolves nursing a two-point lead in the 38th minute up in Quincy, Massachusetts, when Dan Creel bullied his way through the Free Jacks defense on his way to a statement try. In the 48th minute, Miami's Marcus Young found himself a gold mine when he caught Nola frozen by their kick that was blowing backwards, plucking it from the air, taking it 50 meters for the nail in the coffin try, and another confidence booster for Coach Pelissana's surging Sharks sign. In San Diego with the Legion in Utah, deadlocked at 10 in the 38th minute, a getting healthier Utah backline showed their potential with a pivotal go-ahead try before the half by Mike Manson, who added 10 points to his league-leading total. And your Rugby Network Play of the Week is Utah's season-saving and improbable win, procured in part by MLR points leader Mike Manson. Here's your TRO, the Rugby Odds MLR Picks of the Week via WWE Hall of Famer turned rugby advocate and excellent handicapper, John Bradshaw Layfield, and King Gift A. Bailu, the Yogi Berra of rugby.
Utah, -7, got Old Glory coming to visit at altitude. They cannot run with those backs that Utah has. Imagine trying to keep up with those guys, Mansing at altitude, Laseke. I don't think Old Glory can do it. So give me Utah, the Mountain Men, to take on Old Glory and beat them.
Dallas is taking on Miami this week. Miami getting false confidence off of an exceptional win against a team that seems to want to be unexceptional at the worst possible time. But that Dallas Jackals team is not one to play with. They're feisty, they're angry, they're coming off of rest, and I think Miami is about to be returned back to reality. Look for Dallas to win and cover the spread.
I wouldn't like to be at the bottom of that.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
This is the Rugby Odds, where an unlikely pundit panel of a wordsmith, a WWE legend, a rugby star, and a supermodel scour the globe, seeking best bets and bad behavior. Are you not entertained? Fans, you can tune into every match live on Flow Rugby. How do we know that? Because we're on there all the time. And we're back, and we're welcoming in once again Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, known as Ray's Rugby on Twitter as well. Brian, welcome back to MLR Weekly.
Good to be here, Matt. Another interesting week of results in MLR.
All right, Brian, let's switch to what's ahead of us. And we've got that Friday Night Lights match, Utah. The Rugby Odds has given us a -7 in favor of Utah over Old Glory. So Old Glory getting 7 points going up to play the Mountain Men.
Yeah, what do we expect from Utah every time? I'm not really sure, but it was a pretty composed performance, I think, against San Diego. DC did not look particularly sharp against Houston. Their scrum got absolutely mullered. I'm going to go with Utah at home to cover that spread.
Next one up, the Anthem. Now they're hosting NOLA, and NOLA desperately needs this win. They need to win big, and the rugby odds hasn't fit.
NOLA's just not happening right now. Their set piece was a disaster against Miami. They really need to get, hopefully Isaac Salmon is at least fit to play this one for the scrum. Not that Anthem has a threatening scrum, but Anthem's had a week off. You know, they would have tried some things. So I think NOLA wins this one. But you know what? I'm going to pick Anthem to beat that spread.
Miami hosting Dallas. Very tough game to pick. The spread here is -3 in favor of the Sharks.
Okay. Yeah, this is a really interesting one. You know, last week mentioned, you know, they're a totally different team with Ardao and Piusi, and they certainly showed it. Manuel Ardao was all over the breakdown in that game against NOLA. I don't know how many turnovers he had, but he was impressive. Piusi destroyed the scrum. But, man, Dallas has looked pretty good this year. So I'll take Dallas. I'll take Dallas in this one, but I think it's going to be an absolute squeaker. I really don't know who's going to win this one, but I like what I'm seeing from Dallas, so I'm going to back Dallas.
The next one up, Houston hosting San Diego. Houston favored by a meager 4 points, Brian.
Yeah, I think that might be a little conservative. Houston looked really angry in the last game against NOLA. Their scrum was absolutely just destroying the poor gold. And their back line didn't look too shabby either. AJ Alatugu with another stormer. Davey Kutzer is running around like crazy. So I'm interested to see what their selection is, because they've had a bit of rotation and they've got some competition for spots, which is great for Houston. San Diego, man. They kicked the ball away an awful lot against Utah, and I think it was a mistake. It cost them. I mean, Michael Manson had those two great tries. He's the fastest guy in the league right now. But I digress. I like Houston in this one. I think they beat kind of a mediocre San Diego team right now, a little bit more than 4 points.
Okay. All right. And then you've got Los Angeles, Riflica, hosting New England. New England coming off that loss, having to travel across the country. 10 points, New England is the favorite by. Road favorite by 10. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I don't mind that spread. I think New England's going to be pretty peeved off, to say lightly, about that performance. Set piece was just not good enough. So I expect to be doing lineups pretty much all week. And I expect to see some changes in their lineup, because you've got to respond after a performance like that. Patro still had a good game. So, I mean, it wasn't like they were, bad when they had the ball and they were moving forward. It's just when you give away all of your set piece possession, it's never going to go well. I expect them to rebound in this one. I'm going to pick them by, at least two tries over an LA team who are just battered, beaten up. I mean, they hardly have a 23 to throw in the field. They just lost Theo Vukasinovich with a shoulder in that game. So it's just a rough time for LA right now. I'm going to pick New England by a few points on the road.
What else, Brian? Final thoughts?
Well, this is coming up to week 9, and that is after this week. We're at the midpoint of the season, which is kind of a little bit hard to believe, but here we are. We have no idea really where it's going to go from here in the second half. Interesting to see some of the names, maybe potential bolters who put their hands up this season for international selection. Noah Brown, Chicago winger, stands out for me as someone who will be in Scott Lawrence's eye, I think. But here we go. Second half, this is the business end that we're starting to tilt towards. So interesting week coming up.
You know who stands out for me? Brendan Buckley, working in marketing for the Free Jacks. He unsubscribed from our newsletter. I'm looking at you, Brendan. I'm looking at you, Brendan. On that note, I want to thank Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, Mr. John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning's Coffee Break, Coachy, a.k.a. Jose Pelicena, the head coach of the Miami Sharks, and thank you for tuning in. Please check out our other shows, including the highly critically acclaimed, The Rugby Odds. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube, sign up for our weekly newsletter, tell some friends about us, and please join our American Red Cross blood donor team.